Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. I'm glad to have you as one of our guests today. We thank you for tuning in. Hope you visit and support our sponsors. They are the reason we're here, is they keep us on the air, and we appreciate that. And we like to support them every chance we get. Well, we're going to talk tonight, and again, we pre-record on Wednesday nights. So by the time you hear the first airing on Saturday morning, some things could have happened in between. Sorry about that. Maybe in the future we'll be able to narrow that gap a little bit. But right now, today is Wednesday, and we at CCTA took a road trip today to the NC legislature. We went up to Raleigh. We took a carpool and ended up having 18 participants. They set us in the gallery. We were introduced and recognized while we were there, which was very nice. We visited a number of the representatives and senators. Representative Keith Kidwell was primary, along with Steve Tyson of Craven County. Go ahead, Harry.
And we ate in the cafeteria that's usually reserved for members of the Senate or the House. So we were treated like honored guests.
Yes.
Well, what we did is we went prepared with a list of what our main concerns and grievances are to present to them, and we left copies with them. We had mailed them letters prior to our trip, but we're going to take a break first to hear from our sponsors, and when we come back from that, we're going to jump right into it with Rainer, who is our Legislative Action Committee Chair, and let her go over what we presented them as our main grievances. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician. Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown Newbern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, I neglected to introduce everybody before the break, so I'll do it now. We have Bob Griswold.
Hello.
Bob is the chauffeur and the husband of Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Mary Griswold is the author of Right Wing Granny, conservative blog, and we encourage you to visit that site because she stays up to date on the current news and happenings, and she provides you with her sources. We then have Rainer James, who is chair of our Legislative Action Committee.
Hey.
And we have her husband, and he told me he's not just her chauffeur, he's also her gopher.
Hal
James.
Come on, I thought we weren't going to do that on here. Well, I was her chauffeur on the way into Raleigh, and thank goodness Rick drove back because I was exhausted.
And we have Doug Gould with us tonight, and we had a long day. We just got back a little bit ago, and now we're recording the show. So what we're going to tell you is fresh, hot news right off the press. Rainer, go ahead and let them know what we went up there for, what our grievance is and what our main concern is.
And feel free to join in, everybody. I think I'll go once over lightly, and then we can share. Election integrity is our real big hot button. And I'll tell you right now that what we started out saying is only paper ballots, no machines. Doug has some information about how it can be done safely with machines. But the main thing is North Carolina has many, many ways people can cheat, both individual voters and massive election fraud. The doors to those opportunities need to be closed. We're very concerned about the schools. We would love for the school board in the counties, well, really in every county, for the Board of Education to state what party the candidates are members of when they run. That's a real big clue to voters. The two parties have two different platforms, and the members of each party put a lot of pressure on their members if they're elected to go their way. So it's not meaningless. I hear that school board should be nonpartisan. It's not political. Well, that is an oxymoron. It's pretending it isn't when it really is. The next one is really odd for a taxpayers association, but we'd like to see the senators and House members in North Carolina have their salaries raised. They're about at $14,000 right now. Well, to me, that means that somebody who's retired, someone who's independently wealthy, can afford to serve us in that role. Why not make it $30,000, $35,000? It's on the theory that it's part-time, and it is part-time, but it's a huge chunk of the part's big.
All right, can I interject something here?
Absolutely.
That one's going to be touchy for a lot of people because a lot of people think that they're not worth what they're getting now.
Well, our point in doing that is it would broaden the spectrum as to who is available to serve us.
Right.
And we want that opportunity to make different choices than we now have.
Right.
It was originally envisioned as a part-time job, but it's gotten so complicated in their modern lifestyle that it's practically a full-time job for them.
All right. Well, I'd like to elaborate that I, too, think there are some up there that aren't worth what they're getting now. But, folks, we have got some excellent representatives.
Some that are worth more.
Right. We've got a handful of them. We're going to introduce you to some of them over the next few weeks or whatever. They do deserve what they're getting now. Plus, as Rainer is stating, we think they need to get a little bit more.
I believe the last time their salary was modified was 1992.
That sounds about right. Way in the rearview mirror.
All right. Well, go ahead, Rainer. I'm sorry.
Then there were some things that we applauded them for, things they're working on now. In a prolonged emergency, the governor has usurped powers that he doesn't really have, pretends to have them. I think some work is being done to make it so that the General Assembly can choose to come to our rescue if when I say our, we the people, if that happens in the future. And then there's some work being done on making North Carolina a sanctuary state for Second Amendment rights. I think that's a wonderful pattern. And if the federal government tries to infringe on any of our rights,
right,
that would be a very good tool to use. And they're doing some work on opening schools, which, again, applause. They voted on some bills today
regarding that. I like the one that they brought up and voted on today also about summer school, mm-hmm, and giving the kids an opportunity to get back into school throughout the summer if they so choose. They're not going to force parents to send their kids to it.
I love the parental choice.
Right.
One of the things I'd like to see, and we've talked about this, it's one of the things that we voted on when we were putting together what we wanted, is that for all parents to have the ability to have vouchers so that they could elect to send their schools to a private school, a charter school, a religious school, or homeschool, and the money would follow the child.
Right, right.
Well, one of the Rainer asked us to each pick out something that we'd like to talk to him about, and what I picked out was the fact that the schools seem to be in the process of being opened up. They passed a bill, I can't remember the name, the number of it, but just recently they passed a bill, overwhelmingly in both the House and the Senate, which would reopen the schools. And I had heard that it was so overwhelming that it could not be vetoed. In other words, they had enough power to override a veto if Governor Cooper does veto it. People from both parties. But people up there said today that he was likely to veto it just because that would be more politically his favor. But they have enough to override the veto, so it's probably going to become a law. So I was trying to congratulate him and encourage him to keep that up, to open the schools back up.
Right. We did get quite a few opportunities to talk with the individual senators and representatives we talked to. And we talked to them about the election integrity issue and getting rid of the voting machines that are so easily misused.
Right.
And also about the security issue. And Doug here is a cybersecurity expert, has worked at government agencies in that role and position, had top-level security clearances while he was doing that. So Doug's no fool. He knows how it works.
And he offered his services to several of them.
Right. And he's done quite a bit of research and is still in progress of doing that research.
Well, I mean, I think the key message that I had for our legislators today was that anytime you use the internet to transmit information, you are exposing yourself. And as I put it to them, it's going to be like a bank taking their deposit, setting it outside on the sidewalk with no security and expecting it to be there the next day. It's that foolish, literally that foolish.
All right.
Put our votes on the internet. And when our votes are not being handled with at least the same security that our money is handled with, we've got a problem. So this thing needs to be completely revamped.
And Doug offered him a simple solution, too. I mean, and that's encrypting the voting process using a hash that once that is encrypted, you get a key, a digital key. On the other end, it cannot be decrypted without that key, but there will be a number. And that number you look at, if that number that you received when you cast your vote is not the same as the number that's being counted, your vote has been changed. Hmm. They cannot decrypt it and see who you voted for, but they can tell, and you can tell, that the vote's been changed. So there are ways to, there are solutions to it.
And folks, many of you have downloaded programs for your computer or whatever else. And if you look, there's a hash total. When the program is written and compiled, they work up an algorithm that gives you a hash total number. And then when you download something, you should be able to replicate that hash total number. What it's really saying is nobody's doctored with the information inside, because you cannot doctor the information and come up with the same hash number.
Right. And that prevents you from downloading software that contains viruses and malware in it if you do that.
One of the things that has been mentioned in terms of election integrity is to have the results of the local elections reported to two separate places in the state government to act as a check and balance on each other.
Right.
So that if someone goes in and starts messing around with the numbers, it will immediately be obvious that the two sites no longer agree.
Right.
And one of the people who has suggested this more than once is Major Dave,
yes,
who has done a tremendous amount of research on our election integrity in North Carolina.
And he has agreed. He's coming on our program here in the near future, but he's been very busy compiling evidence of voter fraud and election fraud, actually. And we'll have him. We've had him in the past in previous elections, but he's got some real data to share with us this time.
Another thing we were asking about voter integrity is that voter registration be ended far enough in advance of the election that the boards of elections in each county has time to do a residence verification. No more empty parking lots with 10 gazillion people registered there.
Another thing we found a lot of agreement on that I was very pleased with was that there are too many days of early voting.
Yes.
And particularly that voting that, well, when they kept bringing in ballots after the voting was over, that was extended too long, too. You know, for 2 or 3 days afterwards, if postmarked and all of that, that'd be fine. But and been witnessed and taken care of properly. But I was so glad that it was one of the, I think it was one of the representatives or senators that was that worked in that field where he was supposed to do something about the boards of elections.
Right. He was on the committee.
He was on the committee, right. And he told us that he agreed that 5 days of early voting was plenty.
Yes.
And that would help so much, because you could look at the results of the people that we were supporting that were ahead through the early voting. They were ahead on election day. But then it was all this prolonged stuff that came later.
Right.
Which allowed time for vote harvesting.
Right. In votes.
Too many.
You know, we're also encouraged, now, it's still not totally settled, but Justice Newby has said that the legislature is in charge of laws, not the court system.
And our U.S. Constitution says the same thing.
Exactly. But it's being reiterated in this state. Now, again, voter ID is still not fully settled yet. That's what we heard today. It's not fully settled yet. We hope it finally hits the ground that you have to have an ID. Yeah.
Well, I think they're pretty confident that it is fully settled if there's not another appeal.
From the judge's side.
I want to go back to what you were just saying about the legislature makes the laws, and then to a point that Rayner had made about the governor usurping powers he doesn't have. And that's exactly what's going on with this shutdown that's putting so many small businesses out of business, that's instilling fear in everybody unnecessarily with the mask mandates. And, you know, they keep talking about the science. Well, which science? The science you told us about in January, or the science you came up with in April, or the science that another whole scientific community totally disagrees with you on?
And do we ignore the mental health issues that it generates?
Right. I think when this gets further down the road and gets over with, I think some people need to be held liable for the damage that they have done to our children.
And I just wanted to interject, you know, the thing that frosts me the most in North Carolina is that that our governor, who I'm fond of calling Kim Jong-Roy, our governor wrote an executive order, Executive Order 169, and in paragraph 2.4.A, he spells out people who are exempt from the mask wearing requirement, people who need oxygen, people who have respiratory diseases, and the executive order even says, we'll use the honor system. You don't have to carry documentation to prove a medical disability. But then he sent his Secretary of State out to yank the business licenses of any organization that lets people in without a mask. He doesn't give a damn about the exceptions. He's completely undone those, and I think that's unethical. I think it should be illegal, but it's clearly unethical, and it just tells us, and I'm going to use the word, it tells us the kind of scum we have in the governor's office.
Amen to that.
I agree, and it is unconstitutional, folks. These are unenforceable, unconstitutional mandates. Right. They're not laws.
No.
The General Assembly did not make these laws. These are a mandate.
And the mandates that assuming that he could do certain things, they have to be with the consensus agreement of the
Council of State.
Council of State. He, with the very first one, he requested it via email, and I've seen their email responses. They didn't give it to him.
Right. He's bypassed them.
He has not asked a single time since. So he's out there dangling by himself, not following the law that he's making reference to, saying that's what gives him this power.
And the bill that Rayner mentioned earlier that they're working on would say that if the governor declared an emergency after a certain number of days, a fairly short length of time, the General Assembly would be automatically called back into session so that they could deal with it, too.
Right.
Part of the problem with the emergency bill as it stands now is that it was designed for hurricanes and short-term emergencies. And I don't know. I remember hearing last year we're going to take 2 weeks and flatten the curve, mm-hmm. and that was last year. They never expected an emergency to give the kind of dictatorial power to the governor for a year that we've been under.
Bingo.
Absolutely. All right, we need to take another break real quick to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, folks, I hope you're enjoying the show so far. You know, like I said, we took a carpool. We went up to Raleigh. This is something we've done over the years and have been very successful at. And it's a really enjoyable time. We had 18 people on this trip. We'd love to take more on the next one. Back when we were fighting Common Core, I think we got upwards of 20 to 30 people there at some of the meetings, and that was joining in with other grassroots conservative groups across the state at the time. The Tea Party was real active, so it makes a difference. We had a number of the senators and representatives acknowledge our presence, thank us for coming.
Wave at us.
Right. come up and ask Keith Kidwell, are these those folks from Craven County, you know? And so we have a name recognition there at the state legislature. We have a platform here with CCTA, with our radio show, with our website, with our monthly public meetings. So if there ever was a time for you to get involved and to have your voice heard by going to the legislature with us, now's the time. Rainer will be planning more of these legislative trips to Raleigh, and we'd love to have some more people join us because numbers count, and they count really.
Absolutely.
They count especially when you're there in person, face to face, and you get to ask the questions and you get the answers right out there, out of their mouth.
Rick, you know, as you go up there face to face, not only do we go up with concerns and gripes or whatever else, but we also go up with levels of support because they want to, they need to know that they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, we let it be known when we don't like something. We need to be very careful to let it be known that we appreciate it when we do like something.
Yes, and we did that all day today. All right, Hal.
With some of the people who went with us.
Oh, that's right. Thank you very much. Did a blank there.
Yeah.
But a number of the people that went with us today, I was real gratified to hear that they heard about us on our radio show and wanted to join with us. So
right.
That was real. You know, it's hard to tell how much audience we have on a radio show. I don't know how it would ever be none. But so when you hear from people who say they joined CCA because of the radio show or they made this trip with us because of the radio show, it really makes me feel real good.
Right. And it keeps the sponsors happy, too. So, But I can tell you how they can let us know. They can go to our feedback page on cctaxpayers.com and just say, hey, we appreciate what you're doing. We like your radio show. Or, man, you guys suck. You need to do better. Or whatever you want to tell us, you can do that on our feedback page at cctaxpayers.com.
Rick got on our case recently about we weren't being observant enough about those remarks on our Facebook, on our page, website. So I've made myself a notation in my daily plans to do it first thing every weekday morning. So I've been doing that for some time now.
Right. We've had a number of comments left on our page, and we're going to try to do a better job of policing those. And
I promise to do that.
Folks, we'd love to have your feedback. Actually, some of you, we would probably love to have you come on the show and express your opinion. And especially if you disagree with us, we want we want to hear both sides of the story. We know we're not perfect and we're not always right. We do
Are
try.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, at least in your case. what we do is we try to do our due diligence and our research and have several sources to verify our information by. Every now and then, somebody's opinion might sneak in there because we are very strong-willed and opinionated when it comes to our Constitution, our love of God and country, and our freedom and liberty. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to hear from the opposition. If you have an opposing view, you're welcome to contact us and tell us you'd like to be on the show. And we'll give you, you know, as long as you're decent and respectful, you're welcome on our show.
Yeah, I think our radio show is getting a lot more acknowledgement from people. I got a call this week from John Woodard. You know, he was the one that was on our last public meeting there at Stanley Hall Ballroom, did a really nice job for us. And he has his own podcast. Yep. And he called and said that he would really like very much to come down here and be in our recording studio here and at Fernwood and record with us again. So we'll probably have him sometime in the near future. That's up to Rick. You know, he manages that. But I knew we had that offer.
All right. Yeah, and I extended the offer to him also.
So. Oh, good.
Yeah, we'll probably see him in the near future. All right. Well, do we want to – is there anything else there we need to hit on, Rainer, or do we want to move on to a new topic?
I think it's probably time to move on.
Move on. Okay. Well, looking at what's recently been very hot, at least on the conservative news sites, and that's what happened in Texas. It wasn't Trump's fault, folks. Okay? Pipes freezing and people without power for extended periods of time and a lot of other things that went on behind the scenes that you don't get any information on mainstream media. This was totally Biden's administration's mm-hmm. fault. Okay? They yeah. dropped the ball on it. Matter of fact, DOE, Department of Energy, issued directives for the energy companies there to shut down some of their stuff and to get alternative green energy, I believe it was. Is that right, Doug?
Well, what happened was a week before the storm, Texas Department of Energy had requested variances because they have environmental limits on what their coal plants and other plants can produce. And they requested an emergency short-term variance from that, and they were denied. They were denied by the Biden administration and told to buy their electricity on the open market. Well, last year, power went for about $18 a megawatt. This year, it was $1,900+ a megawatt. The darn government, Biden administration, decided to punish Texas for being conservative, in my opinion.
Right.
I'm going to be clear about that's my opinion, but I think that's what they did. $1,900 a megawatt, more than 1,000 times the normal cost. Are you kidding me?
And a lot of the people there in Texas got hit with some multi-$1,000 energy bills that they cannot pay. Yeah. I mean, it's devastating to them. And folks, you have to remember that I don't know what the percentage is, but a large amount of some of the energy they get comes from solar and wind. The windmills froze up. The solar panels iced over. So the Green New Deal has been proven to be not reliable.
Well, I understand it can be winterized, but it wasn't, and because they had been able up till then to get it from the sources
Well, let's face it, Texas isn't used to getting temperatures like they've gotten.
Well, that's because the engineers who designed the Green New Deal are green engineers with no experience. Hello, you don't know what you're doing. Try being a fast food cook at McDonald's next time instead of playing with energy, please.
You know, if you have to pay $1,900 per megawatt to outside, you know, megawatt to go, $1,900. The question is, let's use the analogy of a Dunkin' Donuts. You drive up and your cup of coffee is $1,900 because you're taking it out of the area. Was that $1,900 still charged to the people within the area also, or is this only a to-go fee? I mean, is every megawatt in that area from that generation going for $1,900, or is it only to punish Texas?
Well, this is power on the interstate grid. So one of the practices with power in the U.S. is that some states produce more than they need. Other states produce less than they need. Sometimes there are peak demands, like in the summer and in the winter. And the states that are producing less than they need will buy that energy from other states that are producing more than they need. So it's an economic trade. But why was the fee jacked up this much for Texas? It's I don't know of that being done anywhere else.
Yeah, and suppose that you're the breadwinner for your family, and your job is gone now because they shut down pipeline construction, and now you're getting a $3,000 light bill. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are these folks going
to do? This isn't just punitive to a state.
Right.
And it is focused on one state. But we're talking about real live people, like the people in this room,
and
who are being abused and ill-treated.
That's a great point. So I read a story of one family where the temperature had fallen to 10 degrees inside the house.
Oh.
And although the children were sleeping together under a common blanket, one of the children was unresponsive and died.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
You're talking about pipes freezing, filling the homes with water and it freezing. It's just unimaginable to have to live in those conditions. And, you know, folks, the $1,400 Biden stimulus, if it is approved and goes through, for some of these people, it won't pay the light bill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-mm. And it certainly won't bring that child back to life.
No, it won't.
So I want to put this in context. These are atrocities. Remember that word. Remember hearing the word atrocities in the United Nations. These are atrocities committed by the Biden administration.
But you won't hear it on mainstream media.
I thought that utilities like electricity were generally co-ops, or there were some private company that helped generate it and so forth. Well, is it all regulated by the government now? Is that what y'all are saying, that it's so highly regulated that there can't be competition of any type or anything like that?
Well, I'm no expert on it, but yeah, it is highly regulated.
Well, I know Duke Energy does a lot of the energy here in North Carolina. But, you know, the city of New Bern buys their energy from Duke, and then you resell it to the rest of us and up jack the price, and that's the way they earn some of their money for the city.
They got into a long-term contract on that.
It
really wasn't good for us.
Right.
All right.
You know, I'm adding one other thing. We were residents of Massachusetts for 35 years. One of the things that happened, and much happier to be down here, by the way, one of the things that happened in Massachusetts was the legislature, rightly, broke up the transmission fee for electricity versus the generation fee for electricity, meaning we always know that the wires out in front of the house are consistent. That is the transmission, and that's going to be a consistent cost. However, in Massachusetts, you could pick the source of your electricity. If I wanted to, I could be the dirty dog that used coal fire, or I could use oil, or I could use gas, or I could use solar energy or wind energy. And depending upon the source that I chose and I was comfortable with would determine the price of my energy creation.
Wow, that's creative. I never heard of that.
You left out one. You know what the most reliable and cheapest source of energy in Texas was?
Gas, I guess.
Nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
Nuclear.
In addition, to add on to what Bob said, one of the reasons this was put into place in Massachusetts was because when they were discussing the Cape Wind Farm, which I don't think went in because it blocked the view on the Kennedy compound, but I'm not sure. It may have gone through. They discovered that it was going to double the price of everyone's electricity. So they gave, somebody was thinking of the consumer for a change, but that's when they passed the law that said you could choose your generation. So if you didn't want to pay for the wind farm, you didn't have to.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Every now and then, you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut occasionally.
Yeah, he wouldn't have any trouble in
I
this
thought
room.
It was a blind chicken gets her a kernel of corn.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. I hope you folks are still with us, and I hope we're bringing you some information that you find useful, and we are going to continue to try to do that. Yes, Hal.
Well, I wanted to continue to say something about our trip up to the General Assembly today. Connie Hanna, who's the author of the Trump report in the County Compass CCT in Action page, and she was there, and it was really great to kind of have a reunion with her. She's a wonderful woman, and she's continued in that page on the County Compass, our CCT in Action page, to follow Trump and make kind of comments about whether or not he's likely to return. You know, he's going to be speaking different places, and he's talking, communicating through surrogates, not personally, but he is still communicating with us, Trumpets or Trumpites or whatever you call us. And I think it's interesting to be able to follow his activities through that means.
And I think we'll be hearing more from him in the future. Doug, you were telling me, or I overheard you talking about something happened on Wall Street or with the Federal Reserve today?
Yeah, this afternoon, apparently FedWire went down. Now, FedWire, for those of you who don't know, is the federal government's wire transfer capability between banks and financial institutions. It's how they transfer large amounts of money. It goes through the Fed. The banks run the transaction on what's called a circuit called FedWire. And the federal government gets the transaction and passes it on. It went down. There were a number of other services that are run by the Federal Reserve. I believe there are 9 of them. They all went down this afternoon, about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And, of course, we were all up in the legislature. This is today is Wednesday the 23rd. You're probably hearing 24th. This much later. And I'm sure that we're going to hear some more clarity about it. The Federal Reserve claims it was a mistake, an error, an operational error, and it was back up by late this evening, according to the reports we have. But it sounds like, to me, something that needs to be investigated. We need to have a better understanding of what happened. And these, with all the Federal Reserve circuits down, Your automatic teller machines don't work. Your banks can't transfer money. You probably can't make interbank payments from one bank to another bank to pay your, you know, utility bills or whatever. So I'm sure there was a lot of disruption in the economy today. Fortunately, it was only a short period of time, but if it happens once, it can happen again. And we need to figure out what happened there.
We do, because I don't, as far as I know, it didn't happen this time, but that could induce mass panic and cause us a lot of problems there.
Well, there were some articles that were suggesting that the financial system of the United States had collapsed, and that was clearly wrong. But to your point, there were people who were beginning to panic already in the media and, of course, inducing the rest of the people in the public to panic. So
right.
That already started.
And never let a good crisis go to waste. So that's.
By the way,
One more thing to worry about?
Well, yeah, there's lots more things to worry about. But I think what he's describing here is just how quickly a glitch in the system or an error that somebody makes can be misrepresented or misinterpreted.
And create a vulnerability.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Suppose there was a rush on the banks.
That's what I was thinking. Well, there might be a rush on the banks because if you get scared, you want to get your money out of the bank.
Well, I'll be honest with you. About a week ago, we changed banks. And in the process, I had to go to the drive-in teller of the old one and draw out what was there and all. I turned into parking lot on Monday morning, and all four drive-thrus were backed up all the way back to the street. I said, "What
on a Monday morning?"
Yeah, I said, "What in the world is going on?" I said, "Did I miss something on the news? Are people drawing all their money out? What's going on here?" I still don't know what was going on, but that's how easily things can happen. And people are already living in a state of fear, and it won't take much to trigger them, nowadays, especially the young folks that don't understand all this.
Just an anecdotal story, and this story is almost 40 years old. The First Federal Bank of Boston, all the banks are required to clear with the Fed every evening. Otherwise, they get fined. Well, a friend of mine was the auditor, a guy that I rode the train with, was the auditor at the Fed. There was a bank. This was back in, the Jimmy Carter era, when interest went crazy, 18% or whatever else. Yeah. There was a bank that failed to clear for the weekend. Well, the bank was charged $50,000 for not clearing. The bank made $13 million in interest by not clearing.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, let's move on.
A little technical. Well,
let me just add one thing to this discussion of the Fed and economy. So there has been what a lot of people have remarked to be an artificial crisis. I'm sure you've all seen that, where there's a coin shortage at every restaurant and gas station and grocery store. There's no coin shortage, folks. This is an effort to move us into digital money. And when we get to digital money, here's the warning. If you tick off your dictator, your favorite governor in chief or whatever, they can reach out and cut you off. And when you depend completely on digital money, there's no gas, there's no electricity, there's no water payment, you can't buy food, you can't do anything. So we do not want to go to an all-digital system, and we do not want the government to have that kind of ability to embargo and blockade individuals based on their political beliefs.
Amen.
Doug, can you explain what digital money is in such a way that I can understand it? I don't know what it is at all.
Well, it's basically having your money in an account or in a form that, just like paper money. So we have these pieces of paper that are green and we pass them around and we hold those in our hands. But really, what does that paper mean? The paper doesn't mean anything. The paper is worthless. It's the value that we assign to that paper. And so we just have a ledger someplace in a computer that says you have so much value. of money, and you have a little plastic card that you can use to charge that money. But when you charge a charge card, you put the thing in the machine, and it makes a call back to your bank to find out if you got the money there.
Right.
It'll decline the charge if not. Well, what this is doing, this potential idea of getting rid of all the currency and forcing us into what I'm calling digital money, is simply making everybody use plastic, use an electronic account where the bank has to okay your transaction, but the government gets a kill switch on your approval. The government can kill your approval, and then you can't get any money, and it doesn't matter what you earn or how much you have, they've turned you off.
But wait a minute now. Let's say I'm working somewhere, and I'm making, let's say, $3,000 a month. You mean they put $3,000 of digital money in my account, the people that I work for? How, you know, I don't understand that.
Well, yes. When we go, yes, yes.
And electronic when you do a direct transfer. Deposit, that is what happens.
I mean, today they don't put dollar bills in your account. They don't have a stack of dollar bills there. It's just a number on a ledger. So your company sends a $3,000 to your bank, and the bank says, oh, gee, okay, we got $3,000. Now, somewhere...
they deduct it off of their ledger.
Right.
There's somewhere. No actual physical money being transported there. It's just we take it off of this ledger and put it on that ledger.
I think I understand it now. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the irony is, along with that, that we were told for a period of time, because of COVID, also don't not only coin, but also don't use currency, because the grocery store or whatever, they didn't want to touch the same currency that I had touched.
Right. Well, let me.
But they're going to touch every damn bag and can that I buy. So pardon my French, but they're going to touch everything, and then I have to touch the keypad that everybody in front of me touched.
Right.
But if you're into a digital system like that, how can you tell how much inflation is going to be, or you know, how is that controlled?
Well, no, that doesn't change. It's just no physical money there.
Okay.
Well, I don't want the government in that position of being able to cut off anybody's funds any reason.
Too late. Let me expand on it a little bit for you, okay?
Probably not okay, but please do.
Some people fought against it. They didn't want it to happen, but it happened anyway, thanks to your local governments, your county commissioners and your aldermen and all that. They went around and put these little devices on your electric meter.
Oh, yeah.
They can
smart
cut you
meters.
On and off.
Yeah.
They can reduce
yes.
your... They have total control over whether you heat this house
yeah.
tonight or not.
They came and asked permission, and I said no, and they went away and then came back and installed it without asking.
Right. So all these little steps are being taken a little bit at a time. We're giving up our security. We're giving up our liberties all to the government that can at any point in time they want to start taking control over your life through these digital mechanisms. Now, I'm an IT guy. I'm an electronics guy. I love technology. I love electronics. But it's just like anything else. It can be corrupted and used for nefarious means, and that's what's going on.
And you know, it's particularly sinister to me because I don't understand those sorts of things very well. It makes me both furious and fearful, and I don't like either feeling.
It also allows for new industries to pop up. The big thing you're hearing on TV now is how they can go in and steal your home deed, and they now own your home. But you've got companies that will sell you.
But how can they do it when a state where you put your deed to record? It's physically noted at the courthouse. How can they do that?
They've digitized all those records now. Everything's being digitized at the courthouse. And, you know, they just go in and they make a fake transaction because they've already stole all your other information, your name, your address, your phone number, your social security card. They've stolen your ID, basically. So now they're going to claim that they bought your house. They're going to issue fake digital certificates there for that. And my question is, if there's a company out there that can sell you a monthly policy to protect you against that, Why can't the court do that?
Yes.
Why can't,
yes.
you know, why can't they protect your...
They should.
Dear heavens, what's next?
So anyway, Mary, I saw you waving.
I want to go back to the discussion about digital currency just for a minute. And, you know, some of these ideas sound so convenient and so easy and so attractive. But we really have to learn as consumers to look behind what we're being told. And look, okay, so this sounds like a really good idea. What's the downside? And sometimes I think, and I'm speaking for me, and I don't know if I'm speaking for anybody else or not, sometimes we don't look too closely, and we will blindly accept something that we really should run from at about 100 miles an hour.
I think we generally call it unintended consequences.
Yes.
We haven't... a filter that automatically kicks in and says, wait a minute.
I think you're seeing now the results of it. The downside is being revealed, like with Facebook and Twitter, when you have these, and I realize they're not retail companies, but anyway, you know the point I'm making there. Amazon, Walmarts, how come they didn't have to shut down during the shutdown, you know?
Doesn't make any sense. Right. None whatsoever.
Oh, yes, it does. It pays to be a large Democrat donor.
Okay.
By the way, makes perfect sense.
And then what else happened with them? They started pulling things that they thought they didn't agree with. Okay. So that's the downside of it, is you're giving control to every aspect of your life to these big tech companies, to these big retail giants, to the government. You need to stop and think about it, like you said, Mary, but you need to look at the downside before you just are gullible enough to swallow it whole.
I was going to say, look at, and we've heard ads about it, look at anybody that's bought timeshare.
Oh, yeah.
They say... How much is it going to cost me? I don't know. How can I get out of it? I don't know. You are an indentured servitude to your timeshare.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our society is spoiled. Right now, I think, Doug, you were talking about this earlier today, about everything is instant gratification. We've got to have it right now. We're willing to pay the price for it. You know, who'd ever thought, if I'd have told you 10, 15 years ago that Hal'd be walking around with a $1,000 phone in his pocket, would you have believed it?
No.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of teenagers going into high schools today with $1,000 telephones. Some of them have lost their lives because somebody else wanted that $1,000 telephone, you know.
But and to the point, you know, you get used to you know, hey, I need to talk to Susie or I need to tell Jim something. And you pick up your phone and you message an SMS or Facebook Messenger, whatever, and you want an instant answer. You're getting conditioned to that. And folks, this is driving a number of other societal problems.
It is. And with that, that's all the time we got today, folks. We leave you to think about that and come up with some solutions and give them to us on our feedback page, cctaxpayers.com. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be with you again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.